Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have an amazing guest. First, let's hear from our sponsors.
Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting professionals specialize in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom nettings for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, scoreboards, overhead netting, barrier netting, sideline netting, golf course netting, and much more. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals continues to provide quality products and services to many recreational, high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, courses, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects.
This segment is brought to you by Turfmen. Turfmen is a patch repair product developed by a former golf course superintendent, designed for professional turf managers and homeowners alike to fill in those bare spots or worn areas of turf. Turfmen helps you save time and money by using high-quality professional ingredients so you will never end up with weed seed in your repairs. Turfmen is now available in two different formulations. One, with USGA specs saying peat moss and grass seed, or the second formulation, which has OMRI listed compost, peat moss, and grass seed. Turfmen is proudly sourced and blended in the USA. Repair the bear with Turfmen and go to www.turfmen.com for more information. That's www.turfmen.com. And make sure to reference Dirt on Turf when you place your order to get 10% off. Repair the bear with Turfmen.
AgStone is focused on providing its customers with more than just a great product, offering a surprisingly affordable full-course wetting agent that is 98% biodegradable, reduces LDS, increases nitrogen uptake, and has no burn potential. One chemistry, multiple benefits. AgStone stays with you every step of the way, helping analyze and maximize potential through our products, technical knowledge, and customer support. To get more information, visit www.ag-stone.com, www.ag-stone.com, or email sales@agstone.com and ag-stone.com.
Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Toppings, and today we have Jeff Stommen, from the owner of Turfmen. Jeff, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. You're my first podcast back from my, I guess, about a two-month hiatus, my two-month off and getting things in order around here and potentially making a career change, hopefully. Going to keep the podcast going, but it's been a crazy couple of months, and I've kept up with you, and it looks like you've had a crazy couple of months as well. You have decided to go all in on your business and leave your full-time job, and you moved halfway back across the country.
Yes, sir. Yep. Me and my wife kind of made a decision that we either quit or we go all in, and we're not quitting. So we decided to go all in, move over to Evansville, Indiana. And we chose Evansville because it's kind of gets me about 5 hours from 80% of my customers. it just made good sense. So we're excited to be here and excited to do this full time.
And where did you move from?
Kennewick, Washington. So we drove about 2,200 miles across the country with two dogs, two boys, my wife, and a cat. So it was an interesting long trip.
That's almost like a Noah's Ark trip.
It almost is, yeah. Not quite, but.
Whoa, yeah, sounds like you had that was a fun trip. So first we're going to talk, you own Turf Bend, and obviously, you know, you're going into this, you're going all in. First of all, tell everybody about Turf Bend and what it is.
Sure. I used to be a golf course superintendent and teamed up with Baron Brug about 3.5 years ago, and they mix our product for us. It's a patch repair product, divot repair product, wear repair product for sports fields. Homeowners use it for dog spots, but we have a couple products. First one is USGA spec kiln dried sand, peat moss, and pretty much any type of grass seed, as long as it's Baron Brug, tee to green, or Jaclyn seed. Last year, we brought on a new product. It's OMRI-listed granulated compost, peat moss, and once again, Baron Brug, Jaclyn, or tee to green grass. There's a wide variety of uses for it. We sell to homeowners, landscape companies, school districts, municipalities, sports field guys, golf course superintendents. And you're obviously a sports field guy, and we've got a lot more sports field guys this year, so. Been really interesting to learn that side of the business because I honestly didn't know anything about it. So it's been nice to work with those guys.
Yeah. What brought you to come up with this product? And what led you to do this?
So when I got out of the golf course industry, I had another superintendent call me up, and he was having issues with his divots filling. So I gave him my formulation, and he was so impressed, he actually suggested that I start some. So him and I started the company together. We ended up parting ways, and me and my wife bought him out. But he was actually kind of pushing me into getting the business going.
Obviously, it worked very well.
It's working. It's been a lot of hard work to get to where we are. Pretty excited about the future.
Yeah. So tell the listeners about your career. Kind of give a breakdown of your career up until this point.
Sure. Went to Kansas State University for turf management, golf course management. Graduated there December of 2004. Was in the golf industry for, gosh, about 14, 15 years. Worked anywhere from, I studied in New Zealand, worked down in the Cayman Islands, kind of worked in several different states across the U.S. And my last golf course job, I was fired for making too much money, or so they said, and a lot of golf course superintendents, unfortunately, can get to that. After that, I called it quits and I took a job. My last job was with the city parks department, which it worked out well because it was a consistent schedule. I could schedule meetings for turf bends before work, after work, lunch. So it was a lot better job than superintendent job to help grow my business. So. And then after several years at the Parks Department, gave my notice and decided business was getting too big and needed to do it full time. Brought us here to Evansville.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what stuck out to me there was the Cayman Islands. That sounds like a pretty awesome place to work.
It sounds awesome, and it was great, but once we had our first kid down there, and it's obviously very expensive. It's a resort destination. We worked at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Course. Once we had our kid, it just got to be too expensive, so we moved back to the mainland. So but definitely a great experience.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome. So we're going to get into some of the questions, like, you know, the normal questions that I usually ask on the podcast, you know, about your turf career history and then the position breakdown and stuff like that. But yours is going to be a little different because, you know, you've made this change, and we're going to talk some about your product as well. But what got you into turf? Like, who was your mentor? Who was your role model?
It's kind of interesting. I'm kind of the black sheep of the family. All my family are attorneys. My parents are retired. My sister's an active attorney, and I just love the golf industry. I love playing golf. My dad got me started golfing when I was really young, and love being outside. When I was young, I said I wanted to be an attorney. Obviously, that's what. So my second year at the first college I attended, I started working at a golf course, breaking bunkers, walk mowing greens, weed eating, fly mowing, whatever. I loved it. So I found Kansas State University, and I chose Kansas State because they offered a business minor as well as the turf degree. That really stood out to me. So I left Idaho and went over to Kansas to get my degree, and I worked for a lot of great guys, a lot of good internships, and kind of what led me to the golf industry.
Where are you originally from?
Boise, Idaho.
Okay. And your family still currently lives there?
My sister lives in the Seattle area. My parents still live in the same house I was born and raised in Boise.
Wow. Here's a good question for you. If you had a warning label, what would yours be?
I guess don't mess with my family.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a really nice guy, but if anyone messes with my family, you don't want to see me.
Yeah. I think that can be said for most all of us.
Yeah. Family is important.
All right. So in your positions when you were in the golf industry and in city parks, what were some challenges that you dealt with on a normal basis?
I mean, you know how it is. You try to keep everybody happy, right? You can have four people in a group, and every one of them is going to have a different complaint, right? And same with a sports field, right? So one guy can say, hey, the greens are great. Another guy can say the greens are too fast. The next guy can say they're too slow. Another guy can say they're too hard or too soft. I mean, it's never ending. You're never going to make everyone happy. And that's the hardest part about the turf industry is everybody has an opinion, right? I think Roy Williams said, everyone knows how to coach and everyone knows how to be a golf course superintendent. So, I mean, everyone thinks they can do it better than you. So
That's right.
Hard part.
All right. So making this transition into, because this transition is recent of you quitting your job, right?
Yep, we've been here about a week.
So what challenges are you looking at right now, potentially, and what scares you and what motivates you about this process?
I mean, it's all scary, right? Because I don't have a consistent income coming in. It's 100% on me, and I have my family to take care of. I think the challenges are going to just make sure I have a plan of attack for the day. Cause when you go into your job, you know, you're just kind of structured at what you need to do that day. And so I need to make sure I stay focused and stay structured and, you know, making sure I continue to get more distributors and continue to reach out to my customers and you know, I have to do all the marketing, website updates, everything. So it's just going to be making sure I stay structured. So.
That's right. Keeping a consistent, some kind of consistency.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's taken me a while because right now I'm in the middle of unpacking boxes, taking my kids to school, you know, reaching out to new distributors, reaching out to current customers, current distributors. And
It's definitely be interesting, but excited about it.
That's right. What are some of your passions outside your job?
My family. I try to spend as much time with them as possible. I love golfing, but I haven't golfed in over a year. Love going for hikes, traveling, you know. Coming over here, we're so close to all these different states that I've never really been to. So I'm really excited to just go on some road trips and travel to, you know, I've never been to South Carolina where you're at. So
yeah, well, I'm in North Carolina, but yeah.
North Carolina, my apologies. Yeah. I've been to Charlotte once and that's it. So
The Carolinas are special, for sure.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I mean, just the short time I spent in Charlotte, I love it. Want to go see some of the more mountainous areas over there.
Mm-hmm. What's some of the best turf grass advice you were ever given, and who gave it to you?
Best turf grass advice. I have to come back to that one. I don't know.
We'll come back to that one.
Got me stumped.
Continuing education, staying informed, and use of technology. Your opinion on that kind of stuff, you know, whether it's STMA or whether it's weather apps or what kind of apps, or your go-tos in continuing education and apps, and you know, anything in the electronic world and your previous positions and moving forward, what are you thinking?
I mean, obviously when you have a spray license, you get as much continuing education. And anytime there was an event that came to town or one that was online now with all the Zoom capability, I would go as often as I can, because the more you hear from all the different people, I think it's vital. It's going to make you smarter and better at your job. Weather apps, I would have 4 or 5 weather apps when I was a superintendent, because everybody had a different forecast. And you try to find the best one, obviously, but it seemed like in every different region, a different app worked better. So, and now with continuing education, like I just went and met with Jeremy Treadway at Indiana University, and just going to meet with him and talking to him, for me, it's continuing education, because he's teaching me stuff that I didn't know anything about. He taught me how he maintained his synthetic turf. He taught me how he maintained soccer fields versus football fields. I don't know anything about that. So just talking to all the professionals that we're dealing with, I'm learning something new every day, and it's definitely an honor to work with all these guys, because they're so smart, and just to see how everyone does stuff a little differently, it's pretty interesting. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, most definitely. Your position that you're in now, which is, you know, pretty much all of it is all on you. What do you see as some potential? What are you shooting for new customers? Like what region?
I really am excited about the opportunity to grow the sports field side of things. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we have Joey, you had him on your show. He's using it, loves it. We've got a guy over in Tacoma with the Triple H Tacoma Rainiers that are using it. I just sold some product to Chris May down at Georgia Tech. And I think once the word starts to spread, I'm really excited about the potential in college and the potential in minor league baseball. I don't really see it professionally or like MLB, just because they have their own sod farms. But I really think it just makes people's lives easier, right? It's not that they can't mix the product up on their own, but it's ready to go, it's consistent, and it makes your life easier. And we also sold some to a guy in Berea College, Eric Harshman, and
yeah, he bought the
Yeah, so he bought the compost product, loves it. And he's actually maintains the whole entire campus. And he said he
I've had him
thinks it would work for camp. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So great guy. I mean, he's been nothing but full of knowledge and really likes the product. It's a good fit for him. So
yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he has a baseball background.
Does he? Yeah, I know he's using our product on his soccer fields right now, but he was asking about different varieties of grass for his campus as well. So.
Yeah, and he's got – that campus is beautiful. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it. It's gorgeous.
No, we're talking about going over there in November just so I can meet him and see what else we can do to help him out. So.
Oh, yeah, because he's got so many – so he has areas, you know, all the fields and the campuses right there together. But he has these big grass courtyards, and I can already tell you by looking at it from the aerial stuff, like he sent me some really cool drone shots of the campus, and you can see where people will probably want to walk across the grass. You know what I mean? I can see where him having that product would be extremely useful for him.
Yeah, he said it's a pretty nice campus, a bunch of oak trees, and got a lot of leaves coming down right now. So, but that's just exciting. I mean, just talking to all these different people and learning all these new things, it's actually a pretty big honor to just work with all these professionals. So really excited about the future.
Yeah. So what is your – I probably already know the answer to this, but what is your proudest turf accomplishment?
I guess this.
That's what I assumed.
And can we pause for 1 minute?
Yep.
Sorry, my wife.
You're good. Yeah, biggest turf accomplishment.
So before I started this company, the biggest one was becoming a golf course superintendent. Then we had a real small crew. I had 2 full-time guys, part-time mechanic for 18 holes. And I had that course in amazing condition. And before I got to this point in my life, that would definitely be my biggest accomplishment. But now that I've built this company up from, you know, knowing nothing about getting a product to market where we are now, I guess I would say it would be my biggest.
Okay. What did you want to do for a career when you were in high school?
I wanted to be an attorney, like my parents.
And what changed that path was you started to play golf and stuff with your dad, right?
Yeah, I mean, I played with him when I was real young throughout my whole life. But I just, once I got into college, I just didn't really like that path. My first couple years at college, I changed my major, I don't know, 3-4 times. And then I transferred from a liberal arts school to Kansas after my second year. So.
Well, hey, it's all worked out, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how this year goes. But
if you can have if you could have any job or position, or what would you choose?
I mean, if I had all the money in the world, and I'd love to own like a little 9-hole golf course, maintain it, and you know, I love maintaining golf courses, but I just want to do it for myself, not work for anybody else.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. That'd be a good place to be. So.
Did you ever think about that turf grass advice?
I haven't really thought of that yet.
Any problem. What are some products that you used before you were able to develop your product? What are some go-to products for... anything from what were some of your go-to products other than patch, you know, patch kind of product?
I mean, my last golf course, we had such a small budget, and we had such a small crew. Being as efficient as possible with our applications or mowing, everything. So obviously growth regulator was vital, mm-hmm. you know, and we couldn't afford Primo. So we did any off brand. I'd find the cheapest PGR out there and I would put that down every couple of weeks on greens. Jeez. I'd also always use like a liquid iron because I couldn't afford enough fertilizer. Nitrogen, so I always wanted to try to keep it cool. I'd use pigments quite a bit, just to warm up the turf in the spring or in the fall. Another big product I used would be black sand. Whether it was going into winter, I'd put it down on top of the turf and cover the crown of my greens. That way you'd avoid any ice damage to your grass. And then I'd use it a lot for melting off ice, on the green. I'd throw down black sand and it melted it off quite well. So black sand was one of my favorite products for sure.
Yeah, I had never thought about the black sand. That's pretty cool. I'm interested to hear what some other people
would do. I know a lot of golfers, guys. A lot of guys use green sand in the spring and fall and then black sand in the winter. I didn't have that big of a budget. I'd use black sand.
Okay. What are we're going to get into some fun questions and then we're going like start to wrap it up right after this, but I'm going to ask you some stuff about Turfmend. Let's say there's some people in Florida or somewhere where if you're not really in the market yet and don't really have have your name out or wherever, tell everybody what they can do, where they can go.
If you go to www.turfmend.com, you can take a look at our products and my number and contact is right on that website. We got some sales guys on there. We got a landscape guy, a sports turf guy, golf course guy. All of our sales guys have used the products in those fields and they're kind of just part-time commission sales guys, but they're all professionals in those fields as well. And, or you can call me Drew.
Oh, that's awesome. What kind of turnaround is it on getting the product?
If we don't have anything, Baron Brugs usually 5 to 7 days out to blend it. And then depending on where you're at, we'll ship it. Usually East Coast is 5 day shipping on an LTL. Couple weeks, not bad. But if we have it, I mean, I try to keep a good inventory. We usually have most of them.
All right, so we're going to get into some fun questions here. What's your favorite meal?
Probably salmon and rice, or maybe a ribeye steak and some vegetables.
That's a solid choice. If you won the lottery, what is your first thing you do and what's your first non-essential purchase?
First thing I do would be call a good attorney and a good CPA and make sure I get everything, all my paperwork together. And depends on how much money I won, but my first non-essential purchase might be a 9-hole golf course.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Do you have a favorite quote or phrase? It doesn't have to be turf related, just a favorite quote.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I tell my kids is the worst someone's going to say is no. And I think if I were to learn that at a younger age, you'd have more opportunities. Mm-hmm. You're nervous to go ask the question, right? You know, ask for a job, apply for a job, ask a girl out, whatever it is. I have a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I've been trying to teach this to my 9-year-old early. It's like the worst anyone's going to tell you is no. And if they do, you're going to be in the same position. You want to go ask a girl out, that you're scared, it's like the worst he's going to say is no. And, you know, I applied for the job in the Cayman Islands, and I told my wife, I was like, worst he'll say is no. And they said yes. When going to Barenbrug, asking them to blend, you know, same thing. Said yes. Obviously, other issues can come up if you start asking stupid things. But, you know, if it's a reasonable question, I think it's important to realize that, you know, they might just say no and you're in the same spot. They may say yes. So it might give you a lot more opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, lastly, what are some words of wisdom that you'd like to share for young and upcoming turf professionals?
I just say don't give up on your dreams. I mean, if you truly aspire to do something, I guess don't worry about the people that are telling you no, and stay focused. You know, talk to people that have been successful, and, you know, just figure out what you need to do to get the job done. It might take hard work, but you can get there.
Absolutely. Well, other than that, I don't have any questions or comments. Good luck to you. I know this is quite a risk.
Yeah.
But I think we're all rooting for you for sure. And anybody else that's here listening, you need to go check the product out. And go back and listen to Joey Elmore's podcast with me. It was very informational about Turfmen and what the product that Jeff here puts on the table for you. So definitely if you're looking at some patch type of things, especially some of these guys that are here in the South that listen to this show, we're going to be overseeding soon. And this is something you definitely want to check out to possibly see if you're going to need it.
Hey, tell me about what you did. You went down and helped after the hurricane down in Louisiana.
So that's part of, I'm glad you said that. So that's part of the why I've been gone for so long. And I was very uninformative on my Twitter because just, I was, you know, I do like my life private on some extent, you know. I have some friends that own a fishing lodge in Jean Lafitte, Louisiana, in the bayou. It's called Griffin's Fishing Charters. Colby Kreppel and Tracy Maynor. Tracy's from North Carolina area, and then he relocated to Texas. He owns WB Sales. They sell trailers and like for big trucks and stuff like that, refrigerated trailer bodies. Well, through a mutual friend that's like my second dad that lives down the road from me, I met Tracy, and then I started going on the fishing trips with them at their lodge. That hurricane that hit, what was it? Ida. Isn't that what it was?
Ida. Yeah, I think so.
It was, that where they were was ground zero. I still haven't gone through all my videos from my drone and things like that. It's very emotional and heartbreaking. I saw everything from when I got there. I'm the chairman for Delta Waterfowl for Eastern North Carolina chapter. I was able to pull together a lot of donations, money and materials. Everything from toys to toothbrushes to waters to bleach. I mean, cleaner, anything and everything. And I was fortunate enough to take community service leave from my job and went down there. I couldn't even drive to where I needed to get. They had to come pick me up on a boat. It was a very humbling experience. I saw everything from an old sandwich shop that we used to go, that I've been to with those guys and the guides and stuff down there. They had came 3 miles down the road. It moved 3 miles down the road, just came all the way down the road, and then the flood just dropped it right there. I saw that. I saw snakes, a lot of those. alligators just in places that you wouldn't normally think they would be because of this high water. And I mean, I saw tombs like the full vaults, like a casket would be in. I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, you can't imagine the things that you see. And it's different because I live here in the flood zone of North Carolina, and we, when we flood, it's real sandy, you know, so cleanup is rough, but it's not, you let stuff dry out. That sand's really easy to move around, but they had this mud, and my uncle went with me, and he's, I'm going to do a podcast with him soon. He was my inspiration to be in turf, but he explained it so well. It looked like applesauce, but it was all mud. And instead of them having that sand, it was just mud everywhere. Like it was in the bottom of the rooms in the lodge. It was in the kitchen. It was in the whole parking lot, all over the docks. I mean, it was just like probably 6 to 8 inches thick of just mud. And when I was there, I was like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I felt like I wasn't much help. I mean, we did do some things, but I was like, man, I don't even know where to start. I mean, it was just so... It was just like I said, it was an extremely humbling experience.
So can we still donate to help those people out? I assume they still need help.
Oh, absolutely, because they're still, I think they do finally have some power and stuff, but there is the majority of the people in that township where they are is completely, like they lost everything. I mean, I saw I met a couple of people down there, and they have been trapped in their attic for like 24 to 36 hours, you know, they were talking about. And it was, I mean, it got so bad there that it knocked the bridge out and they had to come put a new bridge in. And it was, man, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, because here we're on such a big body of water. I mean, even though we have marsh and things like that, it just holds together a lot better, I feel like. And all that marsh had moved and it was flowing down the river and getting stuck up against the bridge pilings. It made it like a complete grass mat all the way across the river where you couldn't even get through there with a boat and a tugboat. It was the grass and the roots and everything from these mats of grass, so much dirt on it was getting wrapped around the tugboats that were trying to push it around. And it was, man, it was absolutely crazy. And the smell is so bad. I mean, it's just for everything's just soaking wet. And there was houses that are elevated that were lifted off the pilings. I mean, they lifted off the pilings and completely moved them over like 2 yards, set them right back down. It was, it's crazy, man. The grown-ups, you know, they can fend for themselves, you know, to a certain extent, but right. What really bothers you is seeing those children. You know, that they don't know. I mean, that, you know, they have no idea what's going on. You know, it's that's the hard part to watch and see. And dogs, I'm a dog. I love a dog. You can ask my boss and other boys at work. I get emotional over a dog. If somebody leaves a dog and I see a dog running around, I get. And so, you know, seeing the animals trapped, I'm telling you, it was an experience. For sure. It was a lot of driving to get there, but it made me appreciate you know, things even more. But that's, you know, that took up about a week of my time while I've been gone on this, and I've been doing a few vacations. I fished a tournament, a blue marlin tournament, the Mid-Atlantic in Cape May, New Jersey. Then I've been on a couple of trips, been to see some races, some live events and things like that, trying to get all that stuff out of the way before we get rolling with fall sports, intramurals and club sports, you know. And then I run fishing charters as well on the side, and our trophy redfish season has just ended. So I had 8 to 10 charters to run this year. And
nice.
It's been a crazy couple of months, but I'm glad to be back, you know, sitting in this chair talking to all you. And I'm glad that you were my first guest back. And
well, let us know how we can donate, because my wife and I will donate to your buddies down there. And
yeah, I most definitely will. I'll share it on anybody that wants to donate and share on I'm gonna share it on Twitter page. I mean, it's up to you and my friend that owns the company and owns the charter service. He is the manager and he owns the lodge as well. He manages the fund that I will post because I know I feel comfortable about where the money goes. Some of those organizations you have to be careful sometimes, of course, in anything. And that was what was good for me. I was able to go down there and be feet on the ground. I was able to be hands on. But yeah, everybody listening, we need guests. I would love to have some guests. I have some lined up. I feel like I have a good lineup ahead. But when I get some guests that I've been after for a while, if they get back in touch with me, they are going to go to the top of the list most likely, just because they're highly sought after and they are very busy this time of year with sports. But I want to talk to them during their season if they can find 30 minutes, so anybody has an idea, has a contact, let me know. Go to our Twitter page, email me, thedirtonturfpodcast@gmail.com. Email me. Anybody you can think of would be a great help. And thank you, Jeff, for asking about that. I'll make a post and we'll talk about I'll make a mention on where they can donate if they would still like to donate, because those people are the lodge is back up and running and looks great. Some of the people down there are still struggling.
Yep. Amy and I will donate some money for it. No problem.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate having you on, and man,
thanks for having me.
I wish you the best of luck, and we're going to push this as much as we can. You're not only, I don't have a podcast here that just really, I'm not big into the pushing a lot of products, but as everyone knows, you were one of my first sponsors. So of course I'm going to be loyal to the people that have stuck by me. As well as when you believe in the product and you see and you hear other people using it, it's hard not to share it with your turf colleagues, because that's just what we do in turf. And we all want you to succeed. So
thanks, Rick. No, it means a lot to have me on, and we're happy to sponsor.
Yep. Well, man, it was great talking to you, and
I'll come see you one of these days.
Yes, sir. Please do.
I want to go fishing with you.
Yeah, man.
Actually, yeah. I caught a 135-pound halibut when I was a kid in Alaska. I actually got the tail on my wall. So, office.
Yeah, that's you ate for a while on that.
Yeah, my dad caught a 500-pound halibut.
Oh, wow.
That was about 8 feet long. So, kind of made mine look small.
Yeah. Well, it was great having you on, and we'll be in touch, and we'll be watching.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Have a good night.
Yeah, man.
Benchmark Tool and Supply was founded over 15 years ago and have established themselves as experts in the GPS construction industry ever since. They're excited to bring their expertise into the sports turf management and landscaping world. Their recent partnership with ABI has allowed them to bring that knowledge into an industry that has seen the rapid adoption of GPS and automation technology. The ABI Force Z23 is an all-in-one field groomer and landscaper's dream tool. The ability to bring laser precision to ball field grading is changing the way the game is played at every level. When it comes time to step up your turf maintenance and line marking, turn to the GPS pros who have years of experience helping experts get the job done right the first time. Call Benchmark Tool and Supply today at 866-342-3000. 7665.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Again, I'm your host, Chris Toppings, with the Dirt on Turf podcast. And before we leave you, let me remind you about netting professionals. It doesn't matter what kind of netting you need, whether it's for a batting cage, a dugout, driving range, backstops, check out netting professionals. Go to their website, www.nettingpros.com, or follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You don't want to miss out with these people. Give them a call. Let them give you a price. They'll take care of you. Until next week, I'm Chris Toppings. We'll see you then. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dirt Turf Podcast. La, 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 let's pull over. I can't hold it. Will you turn the music up and let's play Critter Critter? Who is sober enough to take me to take